You know, sometimes we need a little bit of a jump start to get our emotional house in order, to express ideas or offer or accept advice or inspiration to or from someone else. Our next guest has found a way to do just that in a very simple way. It's called Project or Sticky Note to Self. It's the brainchild of DeAndrea D. Nichols. She's been active in the community since her Washington University days, active and activist and artist. Sticky notes is just part of her world. Dee, nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Don. It's great to be here.
Kind of crunching a lot of stuff together here, but it's great to have the opportunity to talk to you. How did the sticky note get started?
Yeah, it got started April 1st, 2015, and I remember that specifically because I was still serving as an organizer and artivist, arts organizer in the unrest and uprising that was happening in Ferguson. And one of the things that I started to notice and still notice was that a lot of the fellow organizers were receiving a lot of online threats, a lot of trolling from a lot of people who did not know them or did not have them, you know, in mind when they were bullying them online. And I decided to write a note to myself, and it simply said, "Do right by people." And I posted that on Twitter. I'd always been a lover of sticky notes as a designer because it's, you know, the foundational tool for ideation. But in that moment, with that first note, there was something that took off with it. And I started to share a lot of the other notes that I had been writing to myself for years on that platform.
All done through basically through social media?
Yeah, through social media. Initially, it was on Twitter. And then once I got really interested in Instagram, I started posting them daily to my personal Instagram. And then an Instagram page developed for the project, and then a Facebook page. And now there's a YouTube page. It's kind of grown a lot on the internet.
Give me some sense of the kinds of things people are saying.
Yeah. So there are 504 notes now, and many of them speak to issues of social justice. There's a whole Black series of notes that speak specifically to how we might get our minds collectively together and well and support each other and love each other deeply in these moments of unrest, in these moments of really pushing passionately for change in our nation. There's a whole series that's all about lessons and loss and how do we cope in those moments where we suffer through heartbreak or a death in our family. All of these life experiences that are common to many of us, but we don't necessarily have the brave space online to talk about them.
Do you think they're doing any good? Do you get any feedback from people say that somehow this is working for me?
Yes. On a daily basis, there are people who message on the several pages of the project and in the comments saying that, you know, this is one that I needed today. And this is one that really speaks to me. And this kept me from, you know, making a bad decision. There's a video series to the project now where I talk extensively about the project and people email me and message me their own responses. And I think the more that we build community around being good to ourselves and reflecting on what's happening in our lives and traversing through these transitions together, I think more and more people will find unity and commonality with it too.
As you've indicated, there are other opportunities to work in this realm too. You've got videos and also clothing, apparel.
Yeah, there is a really big following through the Teespring store that we have where many of the notes have been transitioned into T-shirts, mugs, stickers, and other types of apparel. And there was one in particular that was a quote actually from Michelle Obama during the primaries that said, "When they go low, we go high."
Oh, yeah.
And I wrote a sticky note to remind myself of that very virtue, and I wanted it on a shirt. And I first made that shirt just for myself, and when people saw me speaking at the Women's March here in St. Louis back in January, that's when people were like, "Hey, where do you get that shirt?" And when I told them I made the shirt, they wanted it too.
You're involved in a lot of different projects. You're an activist, as we may say. You're still involved with Forward Through Ferguson, correct?
Yes, I serve on the board of directors for Forward Through Ferguson.
Tell me about that. Where is that organization right now? As we're coming on a third anniversary.
Indeed.
Hardly seems possible. It's been 3 years, but it is. And where are we? Are we making progress, Dee? Do you think we have progressed?
I think there is a lot of great things that are in the pipeline with Forward Through Ferguson. One, there's the report on the report that's coming out very soon to really give specific details about those checkpoints on the 189 calls to action and where within the region different organizations, individuals, and groups have been stepping up to really support this major call for racial equity in our region. I think a lot of the efforts like 100 and Change and the collaborations with so many efforts throughout the region are great testaments of the value of this work, but also the promise of this work to really strengthen our region and our communities. One of the big, amazing transitions that just happened, as you know, is that Nicole Hudson, the former lead catalyst, was selected to serve with the new mayoral administration. And we were able to recruit the amazing, amazing Charlie Cooksey to serve as the interim lead catalyst for, you know, this during this transition point. And with our new board members, with so many community advisory groups that are developing, or I would say community action groups that are developing, there's definitely even more that's in the future that's coming.
Have we really moved along in terms of togetherness, race relations since the Michael Brown shooting?
You know, I stepping aside of Forward Through Ferguson, taking off my hat and putting back on my hat as an individual, in many ways, I think we have a national political climate that even as we see in today's news and misfortunes, that there is great division that still has to be settled and wrestle with as a nation, not necessarily just along political lines, but definitely along racial lines and other demographics. It's Pride Month, and we have a White House that hasn't clarified and affirmed that this month is of value, that LGBT lives are of value to us as a nation. As a young queer woman of color, like I think about that, you know, in my daily life, in the ways that I work within community. But what gives me hope is that there are so many amazing coalitions and new groups and new ideas that are sparking across the spectrum that goes above and beyond the federal policies and really gets to the heart of people. And that's where my hope lies.
What motivates you overall? I mean, you're in so many different areas. You're a young woman, and you're very, very energetic, obviously, and passionate about things. What's at the core of all of this?
Yeah, I think part of it for me is a lifelong love and curiosity of ideas and how ideas might impact the world. Currently, I serve as a judge for the 2017 National Ideas That Matters Award, and I get to judge and celebrate and cultivate all of these ideas from social change makers and designers to really test how might we creatively solve some of the biggest challenges in our nation and in our world. Since I was in high school, you know, I first came into this work because of Hurricane Katrina and then the Genesis 6 and then being a campus leader, and that passion hasn't died. And so at the core for me is the belief that we have within us as individuals and collectively the capacity and the innovation to spark new ideas that will set our world on fire in the most brilliant and positive ways.
What creativity is also at your core. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that and about how that helps with your inspiration.
Yeah. One of the things that I told students during my 2016 keynote speech for WashU Sam Fox School's commencement was that what sets us apart as artists and as designers is that we have this whole nuanced way that we think about ideas. And when we apply those ideas to all of these other industries and all of these other social issues, when we work at the intersections, that's when creativity really sparks. And so now, as a social impact strategist and as a designer, I get to really see that be tested and proven because new ideas spark not necessarily just by innovating and remixing old ones, but also putting things together that seem like they don't fit. And I love working with the things that are misfits.
One of the things that you apparently love working with is food.
Yes. Indeed, I do.
Yeah. Well, explain that to folks. You have a couple of things going that center on food.
Yeah. So I grew up in Mississippi, and I have a food-loving family. My older brother is a chef and a caterer. And for my family, food was always a time of community, of communion, of bonding. And with living here in St. Louis, I don't have much family. I'm an individual. I am single, and I have no children. And I wanted to build that community using food, using this thing that we all have to do. Everyone has to eat. Everyone has a story. As my team says it, we call these our common cultural denominators. And with food, in my love of ideas, it was natural to create Food Spark. And with Food Spark, what we do is host these regular dinner gatherings. Usually they're in the form of potlucks. And people bring food based upon social themes. And we talk through all of these taboo issues that we don't necessarily have a lot of brave space to engage. And there's a lot that's going on with Food Spark right now. We're creating our first cookbook of all of the recipes and dishes that have been generated throughout these themed conversations. We're also gearing up for new series and new collaborations with other nonprofits throughout the region. And so I think that food and storytelling and ideation are all ways that we can collectively embrace each other in a social way and work across our divides, but also a way that we can really spark new beginnings and new opportunities.
And there's also a food truck in the mix.
Well, a few years ago, I was the lead designer for the St. Louis Metro Market, and it is still operating. I'm not a leader with it anymore, but they are doing really great work to solve the issue of food deserts and the food divide here in St. Louis.
We just heard about that in the first earlier segment of the program with
Indeed.
Regard to what a serious problem this is.
Right.
Any progress being made with this?
In my opinion, yes, in several ways. And I would also like to invoke the efforts of a young leader, Maya Petty, who has started STL Lunch to provide
– food again.
Yeah, to provide – food and lunches for students in the area throughout the summer, because that's when so many young people are facing that desperation for food and are going hungry. And I think her efforts, and also with efforts like St. Louis Metro Market, I think they are making progress in the region in the ways that they're creatively being on the ground with community. And it's not necessarily a big organization or nonprofit that's leading the work. It's, you know, a student, it's peer-to-peer. It's a student going to another student and saying, mm-hmm. hey, I can help organize us to all eat. And that collective, like, village approach to it, I think is what makes it effective. And she's, you know, she's Facebooking every day the updates, and I think it's really impressive.
Yeah, and that also takes away the embarrassment factor. I'm sure there are a lot of young people who are hungry
Indeed.
And in need, but they don't – maybe too proud to let people
right.
know they are.
I was going to say the same thing. Sometimes, you know, it is our pride that keeps our head up, but also sometimes doesn't allow us to get the things that we need. And I really uplift efforts like St. Louis Metro Market and Maya's work – to move in between those moments, those nuances.
Where does Dee Nichols want to be in the future? Where are you going?
Indeed, there is so much in the pipeline. So going back to Sticky Notes itself, I was recently selected as the artist in residence for TEDx, TEDx Gateway Art, and I'll be giving my next TED Talk in October. And right now, I actually leave St. Louis tomorrow morning for the last leg of what has been deemed as the detour. I've been blessed to receive speaking opportunities and keynotes in multiple cities across the nation. And from April through the end of June, I've been on this tour, this speaking tour. And when I think about where I see myself going, I know that that's at the center of my life. I get so much joy out of engaging audiences and speaking and motivating and inspiring people to find their best selves and illuminate the world with what they have to offer to it. And yeah. So I see myself definitely growing as a speaker, expanding my own platform and engaging people.
You are good at it.
Thank you.
And you give a lot of people purpose, Dee Nichols. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Continued success.
Me.
You're all over the place, and we love it. Keep us in mind and come back and see us again soon.
Indeed.
That's Dee Nichols. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/STL on air. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.